Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is the gospel lesson that was just read, Jesus' discourse from the Mount of Olives. Jesus says that trials, tribulations, and persecutions will increase for the church. Things will get worse for God's people. That message is a common message throughout Scripture. Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Zechariah, the New Testament epistles, Revelation. And in our text, Jesus makes the same point. Following the typical prophetic perspective of telescoping the near and the distant future into the same picture, Jesus is referring to both 70 AD and the last days of history. Things were rough in 70 AD for Jerusalem. Roman armies came, carrying their idolatrous emblems, and they desecrated the Holy Temple. They leveled the temple and sacked the city. Jesus warns his disciples and says, "Hurry, flee, hasten. Don't even bother to collect your belongings. Pray that your flight is not in the winter on the Sabbath." Yes, things were rough for Jerusalem in 70 AD. And things are rough and difficult for the church and will increase that way. Jesus says the last days will be so bad that unless God had cut it short, there won't be a believer left. And so he goes on to describe how bad things will be. This is not a blindly optimistic vision for the church. There is no postmillennialism here, where history gradually merges into a utopian golden age. No, the church is always a church under the cross. It's always a church in the fiery furnace, in the lion's den, in the wilderness, in exile. It is always a church militant. It is a church that is in the not yet of this world. It is a persecuted and suffering church until the very last day. We can see it in our own days, just as it is, as it's always been true, how the church suffers in Marxist countries, in Muslim countries, even in democratic countries, the church does not fare well. In Israel, for example, Christians are not allowed to freely evangelize and proclaim Christ to other people. In Europe, many congregations are lucky if they can get 20 people to show up on Sunday. Also in our own country, things are not much better. The media and the intelligentsia are constantly ridiculing and attacking Christianity. Apathy seems to be the major problem. Yes, the church is a church under the cross. And in our text, Jesus especially emphasizes the problem of false prophets and false Christs. One simply has to watch TV or keep up with the news of Christendom to see how they are increasing. The powerful voices emanating from religious circles are practically drowning out the still small voice of orthodoxy and of God's pure word. This is nothing so trivial as a war in the Middle East. No, this is a tribulation which amounts to a vicious attack on God, and on God's word, and on God's truth, and on God's people. And Jesus says, it will get worse. Can the church survive? Can we endure? Can we push the heat? What will see you through? What will see you through is Jesus. The Jesus who speaks in our text, who portrays such a gloomy future for the church, is the same Jesus who himself was persecuted. He himself experienced animosity and hatred no less than we experienced. He was plotted against, mocked, ridiculed, scorned, spat upon, captured, crowned with thorns, whipped, and hung on the accursed tree. In fact, the suffering that he experienced is far greater than any suffering we will ever experience. The full weight of the sins of the whole world were pressing down upon his shoulders. He carried the sins of all history, the sins of the most notorious and wicked criminals that ever lived. My sins, your sins, are sins of timidity in preaching the gospel to others, our sins of faithlessness in the midst of tribulation, our backbiting and backsliding and everything else. Such a heavy load was pressed down upon his shoulders on the cross. He suffered God's wrath and was forsaken by God. And all of this for us, in our place, in our stead, as our substitute. His suffering and death, his taking the heat in our place, is what will enable and empower us to take the heat. After all, we don't have to even face the real heat, the heat of God's wrath. Compared to that heat, the heat we face is trivial and insignificant. Yes, Christ's suffering and death will see us through. And what will see us through is what Jesus says at the end of our text. He says, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What we'll see is true is that this Jesus, the Jesus who suffered and died, is the same one who gloriously rose from the dead, proving to be the victor over the enemies of the church. He is the one that ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God as Lord, Lord over the world, over history, and over all the church's enemies. And he promises to come again in glory with his angels and to gather the elect from the four corners, to gather you and me, to be with him forever in eternity. That promise is what will see us through. That is what will encourage us and motivate us and empower us to endure the heat. So be comforted. Be encouraged. Be not disheartened. For the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.